Moncrief on News Talk.
Back before the lotto, the Irish sweepstakes were played by people all over the world hoping to win a fortune and help the health system in this country. The story of it is told in the Changing Ireland Gallery at the National Museum at Collins Barrack. Siobhan Doyle is curator of contemporary Irish history there. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
So when it started, was it strictly speaking legal?
It was. The government moved a few goalposts to make sure that it was legal. So you have the Irish Hospital sweepstakes. The first draw was in 1930, but before that, sweepstakes were illegal in most jurisdictions, including Ireland.
Okay. And explain what the mechanism was, how it worked. Was it kind of you bought a ticket and then they gambled it on a horse for you?
No. So you bought a ticket from, you're supposed to buy it from an official seller. And it was priced at 10 shillings, so about 50 cents. And there was enormous prizes on offer. We're talking like Euro Millions prizes type thing. And there was thousands, hundreds of thousands of tickets go into the draw. There's a draw three times a year, and they're usually based on a horse race. So it could be the Grand National Kentucky Derby, that type of thing. So if your name is pulled out of the draw, your name is then assigned to a horse in a race, and then you're keeping an eye on that race to see whether the horse wins and what your prize money is.
Okay, right. And I suppose it depends on how many tickets they sell for each draw and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Now, the whole premise was that it was to help build and maintain Irish hospitals, hence the name Irish Hospital Sweepstakes. And it was at a time of great crisis for the hospitals in Ireland. In fact, the National Maternity Hospital was threatened with complete closure. So you have these three men who get together and create the Irish Hospital Sweepstakes. They bring the idea to the hospitals. They say, we'll give you X amount of money, we'll give you a percentage of the money if we can use hospitals in our name. And they also bring it to government saying, look, we can help you out as well. So that's where it came from.
Yeah.
However, there was quite a scandal.
Eventually.
It took a long, long time.
But it ran for decades. And am I correct in this? It was the biggest sweepstake in the world.
In the whole world, yeah. There were tickets sold all over the world from everywhere, from where the Irish diaspora were. So you're American, Australia, but also like Malaysia, South Africa, India. This was a big deal. It was a massive global success.
Yeah. And so the money, the way the money was divvied up, like the hospitals got about 25%?
They were supposed to get 25%. And the winnings were supposed to be more, but the founders were found to be pocketing quite a lot of it.
Yeah. Now, it was a massive organisation. How many people did
it
employ?
Their headquarters was in Ballsbridge, and at one stage there was over 4,000 people working for Irish Hospital Sweepstakes. Because it's all done manually. So you have the tickets that are sent in, a lot of them by post, that have to be organised and catalogued and all that kind of thing. It's all done manually in this big, enormous drum. You have, when the draws happen, there's a massive pageantry around it. So they couldn't advertise for a long time. So in order to get word out there, you have these big events to do with the draw. You have, you know, parades around the streets and people in costumes and ticket sellers dressed up and all that kind of thing. So it was a big deal.
Yeah. Now you did mention there was a bit of a scandal, but the three fellas who set it up, were they involved in that scandal or did they?
Well, they were, yeah. They became very wealthy. So you have Richard Duggan, who was
He was a bookie.
He was doing it anyway, illegally, and very successfully as well. You have Spencer Freeman, who was a World War One veteran, and they recruited him because he had really good organisational skills. And you have Joseph McGrath, who's a former government minister, and he was the key person in it because he was able to have the ears of those in politics that could actually make it happen. And he became the richest man in Ireland.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. How much money in total did it raise for the hospitals?
So it raised £130 million.
That's a lot.
It's an awful lot.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be 15% more. It was supposed to give, they were supposed to give 25% to the hospitals. The hospitals got 10%.
Mm. Now, the corruption was it essentially broken by a reporter in the Irish Independent?
It was. It was a journalist called Joe McAnthony, and he did an awful lot of ground research to make sure that he got the story right, because of course there would be a lot of legal implications.
Of course, yeah.
If he hadn't, and he broke the story, and it was the Sunday Independent at the time said it was their biggest story ever.
Mm.
It was a national scandal. And I mean, there was outrage over it, because you have ordinary people that are, you know, buying tickets, first of all, in the hope of winning money, but also they think that they're helping out the Irish Hospital sweepstakes, thinking that they're helping out Irish hospitals, but they're actually, in fact, lining the pockets of the founders and their families.
Yeah, and now, McAnthony had to leave Ireland. It didn't go that well for him.
Yeah, that's it. He was basically shunned for this and a number of other stories, and he couldn't get work in Ireland. He had to move to Canada. But, like, only for him would, God knows when it would have found out.
And so after he broke the story, you know, he broke the story in 1973. So it was a good 10 years, more than 10 years before they actually shut it down.
Yeah, it continued on until 1986. Now, this was the time that there was no national lottery.
Mm.
So the sweepstakes made hay while the sun shined. The Irish Lottery was coming about, and the sweepstakes were going for the tender to be the company that looks after that. They expected to get the tender, didn't. That was given to Unpost, and the company went into liquidation. Now, it was the workers of the hospital sweepstakes that were really under pressure, because you have mostly female workforce that haven't got a wage increase since the 1950s. And they're left under severe financial pressure because they weren't looked after by their employees, their employers.
One texter says, a local plainclothes guard was our sales rep for the tickets. I remember my father, long since deceased, panicking when he'd call just in case he'd find a problem with the car, tyres, road tax, etc. The trick was to pay up fast and hope he'd go away. Hard to know if he ever passed on the ticket stubs to the draw.
That was also an issue as well, about, first of all, illegal ticket sellers, so unofficial ones, and also tickets that never made it into the drum. And you also have overseas tickets been sold, and, you know, you never know if they made it by post back to Ireland at all.
Yeah. Alan, one of our listeners, says, I have a sweepstakes ticket. Is it worth anything today? Probably just for the...
There was an awful lot of them. Mm. So you'd see a lot of them on eBay and stuff like that as well. Some of the early ones can be quite rare. So
yeah. And now in the National Museum, you have a few tickets and other bits
we
and
do,
bobs as well.
Yeah, we have a display in our Change in Ireland exhibition, which looks at the social, cultural and political history of Ireland from 1900 to the present day. And we have part of a display that's dedicated to the sweepstakes. We have some tickets. We have an ashtray advertising. So that's how they got the word out as well. And we have one of the costumes from one of the ticket loaders as well.
Yeah, an ashtray. Somebody's done their maths. 10% versus 25% means the hospital should have received 325 million. It should have gone to the hospitals rather than what they actually got.
Yes.
Crikey.
Yeah, there you go.
And maybe we wouldn't be in the mess we are in today, at least in part, if that had happened. Siobhan, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was Siobhan Doyle, their curator of contemporary Irish history at the National Museum.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.